Okay, Sfiras HaOmer. What we're going to do is we're going to basically run through Shitas HaRambam, Shitas HaRov Rishonim, with various variations within the Rov Rishonim, and Shita of the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. If we have time, we will get into some Shayirakos. Each Shita, we're going to have to go through a basic vision, which you'll see what I mean. A basic vision, how that Shita understood the Gemara, which we'll discuss. In light of that, how did they understand the Psukim? And then we're going to have to go to a more defined conception of the definition of Sfiras HaOmer. We're going to run each Shita through that basic rubric. So, a basic conception, the Gemara, the Psukim, and then a real Lamdas. Okay. Basically, what we have here is the Psukim tell us, again, you've all seen the Psukim, just to read the Psukim inside real quickly, make sure everyone has them. Usfartam lechem imachar as ha-shabbos, miyom aviyachem as omer atnufa shabbos shabbos as tamimos tiyena. You should count from the machar as ha-shabbos, which we know Chazal say is not Sunday. Imachar as ha-shabbos means the second day of Pesach, from the day that you bring the waving of the omer, 7 complete weeks. Ad mimachar as ha-shabbos ha-shviyas, until the 7th week. Tisperu chamishim yom, you count 50 days, which we know is actually ad velo ad bechlal, you're counting 49 days. V'krav te mincha chadash al Hashem, and at that point you bring another carbon mincha. Okay. So those are the psukim. Why is it called Sfiras HaOmer? Because you would bring the carbon HaOmer. What was the carbon HaOmer? The carbon HaOmer was a carbon of barley that they would grind up into flour on the 16th of Nisan. They would take a fistful of flour, put it on the Mizbeach, it would be burnt. And the remainder of the flour would be baked as matzah and eaten by the Kohanim. Omer is just a measurement. It is 42.2 eggs. Okay, beitzim. So that's what the Karban HaOmer is, just for everyone has the basics. Now, Gemara Menachos brings a machlokes between Abaye and Amemar. Okay? Abaye says it's a mitzvah to count days, it's a mitzvah to count weeks. Okay, so Abaye indicates that you have to count both days and weeks. And the Rabbanan de Beravashi sided with Abaye. Amemar counted days but did not count weeks. Zecher lemikdash. So again, a little bit ambiguous exactly what Amemar says. There's going to be a lot of room here for the Rishonim to operate. So those are the facts. Those are the psukim, those are the gemaras. Any questions? Clear so far? Or not clear? Okay. We'll begin with the Rambam. The Rambam's Shita, as is brought down in 3 separate places, is that it is a Sfiras HaOmer as a mitzvah midairaisa. Okay? He calls it a mitzvah saseh. This is in Hilchos Tamidin u'Musafin, 7:22-24. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah saseh to count the 7 weeks from the bringing of the Omer. Let's read it inside. He says, mitzvah saseh lispar sheva shabbosos tumimos miyom hava asa omer, shenemer usfartam lechem imachar asa shabbos, sheva shabbosos. So the Rambam says you have to count 7 weeks from the bringing of the Omer, it says in the Pasuk. Umitzvah limnos hayamim im ashvos, you have to count the 6 days. Mitzvah limnos hayamim im hashvos, you have to count the days with the weeks. Shenemar tisperu b'chamishim yoyim. Mitchilas hayom monon lefikach monon balaylim leal shisha asu b'nisan. You're supposed to count at night. Okay, Rabbi Sahara is in this Rambam. No, what do you say?
He holds like Abaye.
What was that?
He holds like Abaye.
So right away, he holds like Abaye. And right away, what did you see about the way that he learns Abaye?
He holds that Abaye thinks he's the right.
Correct.
Bezman Hazeh.
Correct.
And he holds both them on that.
Well, obviously.
Right. We're speaking about Bezman Hazeh.
Right.
And the Rambam says that there is a mitzvah Bezman Hazeh, Medairaisa, and the Rambam connects that, as he says clearly, to the bringing of the Omer. No, he's quoting the Pasuk here. Mitzvah Saseh Lispar Sheva Shabbos Tumimos, Miyom Hava Asa Omer. So the Rambam emphasizes that that the hakravas haomer, the bringing of the omer, the waving of the omer, whatever it was, the Rambam emphasizes that that is critical to the counting. Okay, and he's learning that it's abaye and that it's midoraisa. Okay, he's passing like abaye. That's one, and correct, and that it's one mitzvah, as we will see in a moment. Let's just skip to Chav Dalad for a second. The Rambam says, mitzvah zu al kol ishmi yisrael b'chol malkom b'chol zman v'nashem v'avadim peturim mimena. The Rambam says, we're just going to focus on nashim for a second, that nashim are peturos, the indication being that the Rambam holds that this is a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So far so good? Were you able to get the Rambam and the Koteres down over here?
No.
The Rambam in the Koteres also says it's a mitzvah for everybody to count 7 weeks from the time of the bringing of the Omer. Okay?
The Lashon is
just weeks,
he says? Correct. The Rambam does not bring down days. The Rambam does bring down weeks. Perhaps we will explain that. And the Rambam once again mentions the Karban HaOmer. Okay? The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos also describes this as counting days and weeks is one integrated mitzvah, as Nir pointed out before. And the Rambam says, he explains over there, that it's just like counting Shemitah and Yovel. You count 7 rounds of Shemitah, and then Nichlal in that is the counting of the Yovel.
You count every year and then you count all the Shemitah.
Correct, yeah. And then after you count 7 rounds of Shemitah, so the 50th year is automatically defined as Yovel. And just like that, after counting 7 days, a week of Sfiras Omer is reached. Okay. The Rambam points out, how do we know that counting days and weeks is one mitzvah? He says, one bracha. There are not two separate brachas. Keep that in mind from when we learn the Rabbeinu Yerucha. Okay? Okay, fine. As I zuck the Rambam. Now, the question is like this. If the Rambam holds that Sfiras HaOmer is midoraisa, what is the relationship? Remember in the beginning where I said we're going to have like a basic conception? This is going to be our basic conception. When the Rambam says it's midoraisa, and today we don't have Hakravas HaOmer, what does that tell you about the nature? Again, I just want a basic conception. What does that tell you about the nature of the relationship between the Hakravas HaOmer and the Sfiras HaOmer, according to the Rambam?
The actual Hakrava? You don't have to actually makrav the Omer for the Kiyot to kick in?
That seems to be the case.
Okay.
In other words, the Rambam is clearly saying that despite the fact that we don't have Hakravas HaOmer today, still there is a mitzvah midoraisa to count Sfiras HaOmer.
Yeah, when he says miyom havas haomer, it's descriptive. It's not
okay.
It's not intrinsic.
But I'm going to be bothered by that. You know, I'm going to be bothered by that, because the Rambam in the Koteres, in the Halachos, and in the Sefer HaMitzvos consistently mentions that it's linked in to Hakravas HaOmer.
Why can't we just
linked to the day?
Okay, good. Yeah. So initially, I don't know if we're going to finish this way, but I agree with you guys. At least on an initial level, what we would say is like this. The Rambam's vision of the connection between Hakrava So'emer and Sfira So'emer is that it was a moment in time that was there was a correlation, but no causation. In other words, the Torah is telling you, how do you know when to start Sfira So'emer? The day that they brought the Omer. But there's nothing intrinsic about Hakrava Sa'imer and Sfira Sa'imer. Therefore,
well, I mean, but it's not that difficult to say that, like, that the day is defined as the day of Hakrava Sa'imer, and even if you don't bring it, it's still called the day of Hakrava Sa'imer.
Say that. Okay, I'm not. Let's put it this way. You're 10 steps ahead of me. I'm just trying right now to get a basic conception, and on a basic level, my point is, I think everybody would agree to this. The Rambam splits between Hakrava Sa'imer and Sfira Sa'imer. Despite the fact that we don't have Hakrava Sa'imer today, we still have Sfira Sa'imer. Fair? Okay. I personally am bothered that the Rambam consistently mentions the Hakravas HaOmer.
He's in the Pasuk.
Yeah, I understand. But he did it 3 times. In other words, you could say that. I don't disagree with you. You could say he's just quoting the Pasuk.
You could say Shabbos also. You didn't have to quote that part of the Pasuk. could have called him Machar Shabbos. He could use that as a marker.
He actually says that too, right? He says, me Machar Asa Shabbos also.
No, he explains Machar as well.
He says,
"Shenemer
esfartem lechem mimachar asa Shabbos."
That's when it's quoted. No, no, I mean when he.
Yeah.
I mean when he says the halacha, he says miyom havas haomer.
Right.
He's saying like that's just the full.
That's how
he
defines it.
Okay, but again, and I think there's certainly truth to that. I think that you would be well within your rights to say the Rambam's just quoting the pasuk. I think we might be able to do a little bit better in this case, but I agree with you from a derech halimut perspective. What you're saying is absolutely fair. But if the Rambam really held, and because remember, the Rambam is really the minority opinion here. If the Rambam really held that Hakrava Sa'omer and Sfira Sa'omer are two separate things, we should have seen some influence of that in the Rambam himself. As we're extracting that from the Rambam. But when if you actually just looked at the Rambam plainly, I don't know that you would draw that conclusion. Okay, now. The Rambam paskins that Svira Saomer is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and therefore women are peturos. There is a Ramban in Kedushin, and there is a lot of hack about this Ran in Kedushin. I'm sorry, this Ramban in Kedushin. Exactly what the Ramban meant. The Ramban had a list. Of things that are not mitzvah saseh shazman grama. In that list, it said samach hayayin. Shaila is what samach hayayin meant. Some wanted to say that it doesn't mean sviras haomer; it means seder haavoda. But pashtus, it meant sviras haomer. So we have a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban when it comes to noshim. If it's mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and therefore they are potter. I'm sorry, and therefore they are peturos, like the Rambam, or whether it's not mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and therefore they are chayavos. What's the hezbara machlokas? You'll see how this ties into the overall Rambam shita. What would you say the hezbara machlokas is?
You have to do with the time of counting? Like, is it like the year?
So pashtus, according to the Rambam is the simpler shita here. The Rambam says, "Ein mitzvah saseh shazman grama, gadol me sfira saomer." It's the ultimate time-bound mitzvah.
Because it's time.
Because it's dependent on a specific time.
12 minutes. 12 minutes.
But you're getting too technical.
And also, there's a period where you do the
right.
Mitzvah.
Okay, good. So you could say that. Some want to suggest, for the Ramban, that the reason why it's not a mitzvah saseh shazman grama.
It's because you can count all day.
Is because it's being generated by the Omer, by the Hakrava Sa'omer.
Mm.
In other words, what is the Mechayiv of Sfira Sa'omer? The Rambam is Lishitaso. The Rambam who splits Hakrava Sa'omer from Sfira Sa'omer says, what's the Mechayiv of Sfira Sa'omer is time. Therefore, it's Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama and Nashim are Peturos. Masha'ein Kain, according to the Ramban will fall with the Rov Rishonim. Again, don't suck me in there yet, because we're going to do that Shita independently. But the Ramban would say that no. Krava Sa'omer and Sfira Sa'omer are integrated. There's an intrinsic connection between them. And therefore, it's not the what's generating the obligation to count is not the time, but it's the Hakrava Sa'omer. It's the Chefsa of the Hakrava Sa'omer.
What about the count at night? You would hold the count during the daytime? Because there are two aspects.
Okay, good. So maybe we'll get to that when we come to Tosfos and Menachos. I hear what you're saying. But I'm saying, again, at least we see the Rambam's vision, even though I'm upset with it from this pure language of the Rambam, at least we see a sort of consistency in the Rambam's vision, that the Rambam's vision is that there's a split between the Hakrava Sa'omer and Sfira Sa'omer. So far, so good?
And the fact that Akrava Sa'omer itself is a...
That wouldn't bother us, necessarily. Okay. Now let's get into the technical aspects. How did the Rambam learn the Gemara, then? What was the machlokas? How did the Rambam see the machlokas between Abaye and Amemar? And by the way, even if you don't think you're saying a chiddush in the Rambam, the contrast in the Rov Rishonim, I think, will be very important. How did the Rambam learn the Gemara in Menachos, 66a? Machlokas Abaye and Amemar. Abaye said it's a mitzvah to count both days and weeks. Amemar said it's only a mitzvah to count days. I'm sorry, it's only a mitzvah to count days. and not weeks, zeche lemikdashu. How did the Rambam understand that machlokas?
Well, they both agree on the raisa is, meaning counting days and weeks. And the question is whether it's still the raisa now. That's
okay, the, very good. So you're saying that the Rambam paskins like Abaye.
Mm-hmm.
Abaye says, everyone agrees in the Zman HaMikdash that Sfiras Omer was Doraisa.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, according to Abaye, it remains Doraisa, which means that Abaye would split between the Hakrovas HaOmer and the Sfiras HaOmer.
Right.
Whereas Amemar would say, no, Midrabanan, today we're counting, and you only need to count days and not weeks. Zeichel HaMikdash. But the Rambam Be'etzem is paskening like Abaye.
So we're aligning the sheet to say that it's sort of the spar flows, that if you say that it's a deraisa b'zman hazeh, then maybe you're going to say that nashim are p'turos.
If you say, correct. If you say it's midrabanan.
Because you have to say in that case that it's generated by the zman and
correct.
Not by the,
exactly. Okay. Bidiyuk. Okay.
And a Meimar would say that the counting days was the Oraisa always, and counting weeks was always Darabana.
You're pushing a very good button. You're pushing a very good button.
That's
we're gonna come to the Rasameach. We're gonna come to the Grizz, because Amemar is very undefined in the Gemara. He just says we count days and not weeks. Zeichel Mikdash. What does that mean? We're gonna come to that. The point is, for the Rambam, that he's passing like Abaye, he sees the machlokas in the Gemara as gufa this shaila, whether or not there's an integration between the Hakravas HaOmer and the Sfiras HaOmer, the nafkamina will be bezman hazeh. So far, so good. How would the Rambam then learn the psukim? What would the Rambam be saying about the psukim when the Torah says, miyom avi achemes HaOmer, hatnufa? What would you say?
According to the Rambam?
According to the Rambam.
Descriptive.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. The Torah never meant to integrate the Hakrava Saomer and the Sfira Saomer. It was telling you the time in which it occurs. Okay? So, just want to show everyone what I mean in terms of the structure of this year, because worked very hard to be able to give you a clear structure that every Rishon should fit into this matrix. And we should be able to define each stage. So far, according to the Rambam, we have a basic conception. The basic conception is that Hakravas HaOmer and Sfiras HaOmer are not integrated. Two separate things. It's just a corollary, so to speak. We said that the Rambam learns the Gemara, he paskins like Abaye, and it's gufa the shaila of the Gemara if it's Doraisa or Derabanan. Gufa the shaila about the integration between Havaos HaOmer and Sfiras HaOmer. We showed that in the Machlokes, in the Ramban and the Rambam also, that gufa that shaila as it relates to Nashim, and how they learn the Psukim. The Rambam just learns it as this is the time, but not that it generates the Chiyuv of Sfiras HaOmer. Now, so we covered basic conception, learning of the Gemara, learning of the Psukim. Now the question is, what's the Lamdas? So, on the Maror Makomos, there was a Sefer HaChinuch, and quotes the Maror Nevuchim.
Mar Nevuchim
says like this. His vision of Sfiras HaOmer, again, it's very rare that we'll do this because we have to be very careful not to get mushy about this. But here we're not being mushy about it. We're not getting into Time of the Crow. We're getting into the nature of Sfiras HaOmer. The Rambam's vision of Sfiras HaOmer was anticipation for Kabbalah Satorah. That's what it is. Anticipation for Kabbalah Satorah. Just as a person is excited to see his friend, and he's counting the time until he sees his friend, so too, there is a destination that we're looking forward to, Matan Torah, just like in the original time, from Pesach to Shavuos was 50 days. So there's this enthusiasm and the counting that goes along with that. What's exciting about this Maror Nevuchim to us? From a Lamdasha perspective.
Because it defines sphere as being prospective instead of retrospective. Like it's looking forward, not looking back. It's not coming from the Omer, it's going forward.
Okay. In other words, you're saying like this. Hakrava Sa'omer and Svira Sa'omer are thematically two different things. There is Havah Sa'omer, and whatever it represents, as we'll see. And then there's Svira Sa'omer. Svira Sa'omer is, again, in conception, the way the Rambam understands it, is, you said, it's prospective. It's forward-facing. We're going to Shavuos. This is the Rambam L'shitaso. Because the whole vision of the Rambam is that he splits between the Hakrava Sa'omer and the Svira Sa'omer. So in the Rambam's understanding of the actual concept of the Svira, it makes sense that he goes with something that's totally separate from the Hakrava Sa'omer. The Aruch HaShulchan, I put the Aruch HaShulchan on the Marmakomos. The Aruch HaShulchan, you don't need to see it inside. The Aruch HaShulchan basically explains that this is perfect because the shift from Pesach to Shavuos is represented in the Hakrava Sa'omer to the Shtei Alechem. Hakrava Sa'omer, as we said, was barley, which is animal food. A pre-Matan Torah vision of humanity. Like, for example, you know the Rambam, I think we had this. Kodem Matan Torah haya Adam pogeya isha bashuk. Right? After Matan Torah, what does the Rambam always say? He stops calling it Adam and he starts calling it Ish. The Rambam had a vision that Matan Torah was a transformative event. When do we have a Shtei Alechem that's not Matzah? Shavuos. Shtei Alechem, the Pasuk says Beferish, the Shtei Alechem by Shavuos are Chametz. Yeah? It's a vision of human food. So this is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. This vision of Svira Sa'omer is a shift from a pre-Matan Torah vision of slavery, animalistic, to post-Matan Torah, Shtei Alechem, Chametz. Shift from matzah to chametz.
From barley to chametz.
Correct. To wheat. Yeah, correct. Barley
it's
to wheat.
Elevated, yeah.
Very good. In other words, this works beautifully, right, with the Rambam's conception. And now we're going to answer the question that we said before. Is it really just incidental, according to the Rambam, that the Torah says Havah Asa'omer, and that the Rambam, in Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Koteres, and in the Halachos, keeps mentioning Havah Asa'omer? According to this Aruch HaShulchan, according to this Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, we could argue that it is not incidental, as we were saying before. It's not just to give you a time, but rather it gets to the yesod of the entire mitzvah. The yesod of the mitzvah of Svira Sa'omer is a shift from Pesach to Shavuos. And that's why the Rambam framed it in the context of Havah Asa'omer. You understand?
Yeah, Yom Havah Asa'omer.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. You're right. In terms of the concept, it's time. In terms of the concept, it's not being generated by the Havah Asa'omer. But the Torah puts it together with Havah Asa'omer. And even the Rambam would be moda. We don't call it Sviras HaYamim. We call it Sviras HaOmer. Why are we calling it Sviras HaOmer? Clearly the Rambam would acknowledge that the Hakrava Sa'omer does have some meaning. Otherwise he wouldn't keep focusing on it. A teretz is, it fits in with the fundamental yesod of what Sviras HaOmer is. What do you say? Questions, comments, reactions. Agreed? Hey, not bad, we're making it through. So we've accomplished the Rambam. I don't think I've ever had less fighting from you guys. Something nice about that. Okay. Now we'll see if we can keep our heads above water. Let's go to Rov Rishonim for a moment. Tosis in Menachos says that Ben Ashmashos, you're allowed to count Svira Sa'omer. Why?
Derabonah.
No, because it's Derabonah, and that's a suffix.
Right.
Okay. So not only do we have the Ramban, that we already indicated says that it's a mitzvah midrabanon, we have Tosfos in Menachos saying it beferish. Skip the Baal Amar for a second. Okay, let's go to the Ran. The Ran says beferish that nowadays that we don't bring the Karban HaOmer, Svira Sa'omer is only Midrabanan Zeichel HaMikdash. Okay? And obviously, according to this Shita, meaning differently than we've been saying up until now in the Rambam, where we say that there is no integration between the Hakrava Sa'imer and Sfira Sa'imer. What are we saying if you say it's Mitzvah Ben Rabbanon? There is in fact an integration. And now that we are lacking that integration, it's only a Mitzvah Ben Rabbanon Zeichel Mikdash. So far so good? Okay. In the Rambam, we had to struggle. Why is it called Sfira Sa'omer? We said, because that's the Rambam's conception of Sfira Sa'omer. Is it's framed by the Omer, the shift from Pesach to Shavuos. According to these Shitas, why is it called Sfira Sa'omer?
It's generated
by the Omer. It's min b'mina. Okay. And obviously, according to these Shitas, how would you read the Psukim? Reading the Psukim should be easy now. How would you read the Psukim?
It's causative.
Correct. In other words, when the Torah says, Miyom aviyachem es ha'omer, it meant that this is what actually generates the chiyuv, not like we were saying in the Rambam. But here, it's the simplest reading. Now we get a little bit complicated on the technical side. How did these Shitas learn the Gemara? How did they learn the machlokas between Abaye and Amemar? On this, we have a machlokas between the Balamor and the Ran. I want everyone to get the technical aspects here because they're very important.
Kesef Mishnah too, right?
Well, I'm going to leave out the Kesef Mishnah. And I wanted the Kesef Mishnah for the Mitzvah Sasei Shazman Groma part. Just focusing now on the Balamor and the Ran. The Balamor, well, in order to understand the Balamor and the Ran, let's take a step back. These Shitas that say we paskin, that today Sfira Sa'omer is derabbanan, is there anybody that paskins that today, Bizman Azeh, we only count days and not weeks? There is nobody that paskins like Amemar. But practically. Meaning,
right.
Not that there will be Shitas, we will see that actually paskin like Amemar. But nobody Bizman Azeh only paskins days and not weeks. That Shita doesn't exist. Okay? So that's important. In terms of understanding the Balamor and the Ran, put it in that context. It's midrabbanan, but nobody holds halach lemaisa like Amemar. Why not? So the Balamor said that really, we paskin like Amemar. Okay? And today, Sfira Sa'omer is only Zeichel HaMikdash. Aye, how can we count days and weeks? Says, that's a minhag. That's a minhag. So the machlokas between Abaye and Amemar, according to the Balamor, let's take a second and pause here. What would you say the machlokas is, according to the Balamor?
Same as the Ran.
Exactly. Exactly. Will not be true according to the Ran. According to the Balamor, he comes to a totally different conclusion than the Rambam. But he literally learns the Gemara the same exact way. Abaye, who says you count both days and weeks, says it's a mitzvah midaraisa. Amemar, who we paskin like, says it's a mitzvah midarabanan. There's an integration between Hakrava Sa'omer and Sfira Sa'omer. But there's a minhag in Klal Yisrael that we count both days and weeks. Okay.
So the Rambam says we paskin like Abaye.
Correct.
And
the Balamor says we paskin like Amemar.
Okay.
And that would have been great, if not for the Ran. The Ran says, we paskin like Abaye. We paskin like Abaye, which, by the way, the Gemara indicates it a little bit, right? When the Gemara says that the Rabbanan de Beir Avashi counted both days and weeks.
That's everybody thinks he paskin like Abaye, though.
I think so.
That's like a stock issue.
Doesn't he say?
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Right. So they say we paskin, in fact, like Abaye. And even though nowadays it's only midrabbanan, yeah? We paskin like Abaye. That's what the Ran says. So what is the Ran's conception within the Rov Rishonim? What's his conception of the machlokas between Abaye and Amemar?
They both hold it's the Rabbanan.
Correct. They both hold it's the Rabbanan.
It's just that when it's a Darabanan, you do it like it was done when it was a Daraisa, or is the Maisa transformed based on, like, it's because it's a different status?
You're already running away to Lumbus, and I love that. But right now, I just want to stay with the technical. because from this technical is going to flow a lamdas. In other words, according to the Baal Amor, he basically had the same exact conception of the Rambam. The Ran sees it fundamentally different. He sees a machlokas between Abaye and Amemar within the world of the Rabbonans. Abaye says it was Kein Doraisa Tiknu. They patterned it after the Doraisa, which means that there's both, even though today, because there's no Akravas Omer, and there is an integration between Akravas Omer and Sfira Omer, but still, and so therefore it's only with the Rabbanan, but still they patterned it after the Doraisa, you count days and weeks. Amemar says the Rabbanan, you only count days. However, what am I going to ask you?
What's the
Hezra Machlaikas? What's the Hezra Machlaikas?
Well, you could look at that. You could see in the psukim that days are directly tied to.
You're already holding by the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Do me a favor, hold off. What you're saying is true, but hold off on it. Again, I'm only asking this within the world of the Ran, because in the Ran, we have a machlokas.
Well, it could be what the mitzvah deraisa was to begin with. Could be where they had a machlokas. Meaning, then they could agree on Tzirchel Mikdash and just think that the mitzvah deraisa was different, and that reflects in how the Rabbanan created the.
You want to suggest
there to look at
that according to a Meimar, what are you trying to say? How would that work out according to a Meimar?
No, you could work it out.
No, but then that doesn't make sense. Because what does a Meimar mean when he says Tzirchel Mikdash?
No, they both agree on Tzirchel Mikdash.
Okay,
not
I'm with you.
On Tzirchel Mikdash, because you only hear a Meimar saying, but they could both agree. They could just agree. I mean, their machlok to the right could just be mirrored in how they think they can both agree. Let's say.
So play it out.
Play out the grids. Let's say they both agree. Zeichel Mikdash means rabbanan wants to mirror what the deraisa was. Right, that's one way of looking at it. And Abaye, they had a different conception of what the deraisa was essentially.
So you're saying that according to Amemar, the mitzvah deraisa was only to count days.
That's one way to look at it. It's hard to say, but
it's hard to say it in the Gemara because the Gemara sounds like he says. It sounds like that it's a mitzvah to count days and not weeks. The Hainu, that there used to be a mitzvah of counting weeks. The Torah itself indicates that there's a mitzvah of counting weeks. Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyanim. It'd be very hard to say that a Meimar didn't hold of that, no?
No, it's hard to say, but I'm saying there are two. But I'm saying
it's going against the Psukim.
What?
It's going against the Psukim. Yeah, Pashto's not. Pashto's not.
I don't know if it's related, but in Vayikra, when it says. The verb of counting, it says, you know, it just says days and not weeks. And by Dvarim, by the verb of counting, it says weeks and not days.
Well,
so
in Tazayin, it says Tisperu Chamishim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because Mishim Yom.
Tisperu Chamishim Yom. And the second one, it says, Lispor Shiva Shavuos. So maybe, depending on which you say is the Doraisa source.
But everybody's going to have a conception that you count weeks. The Doraisa. I'll tell you the truth. I don't think we need to work tremendously hard over here because I think the Brisker Rav gave an excellent hesber.
So is it just like that sort of a machlokas in the nature of the Rabbanan? And like, is it just that the Rabbanan maintains like the status quo of the Doraisa, or is it a new din?
Okay, well, so you're already heading into the world of the Brisker Rav. You're far from it, but you're heading into the world of the Brisker Rav.
Mm-hmm.
Brisker Rav makes the following chakura. He basically says as follows. It's a shaila in Zeichel Mikdash. Okay? What does Zeichel LeMikdash mean? So he has two visions. Either Zeichel LeMikdash means that you're continuing to perform this activity so that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, you'll be ready to go. Or the exact opposite. Zeichel LeMikdash really is Zeichel LeChorban. And therefore we're specifically shifting out of the way it was practiced in the Mikdash in order to remind ourselves that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. This, he suggests, is the machlokas between Abaye and Amemar.
The Brisker Rav, he didn't have like an opinion of Rav. Now the Rav has a distinction between there's Zeichel HaChorban and Zeichel HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are things that we do Zeichel, you know, there are two different psukim.
Mm-hmm.
The Brisker Rav only doesn't have that dichotomy, right? He goes, it's either one or the other. The way it operates. He doesn't see he doesn't argue there are things that are Zeichel HaChorban and things that are Zeichel HaMikdash, right? His assumption is Zeichel HaChorban has one definition.
That's good for the machlokas.
No, I'm saying the Rav has a thing where he says machlokas is something. You know, some example of mikdash. That's what mirrors the mikdash.
Right,
and
there's zeichel
lechorban.
Right.
Right, and there are things that are zeichel lechorban, but
right.
There are two. They both.
There's two universes. Correct.
Brisker Rav is saying it's either one.
Yeah, it's one or the other. That's the machlokas between Amemar and Abaye.
Right.
Right. I happen to have seen that between Erav.
Another thing, they both exist though.
Right. But that's goof of the shayla
right.
here between Abaye and Amemar. In other words, using the Briska Rav. I mean,
right.
the truth is, it's not so far off what the Rav said. It's just a question of whether or not the Mitzias they both exist.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right, okay.
But
so the point is like this. Do me a favor. Ask me in 2 seconds. Let me just spell it out and make sure that everyone has it clear. If you hold like Abaye that is Zechel and Mikdash in terms of that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, that we'll be in practice, we'll be ready for it. So then it's Kain, Daraisa, Tiknu, and you obviously have to count both days and weeks, because when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, that's what we'll do. If you hold it Zechel and Churban, then there has to be a deviation from the way that it was structured, yeah, in order to appreciate what we've lost. And therefore we count days, not weeks, Zechel and Mikdash.
The choice becomes arbitrary. No, that's the problem, no? The choice becomes arbitrary. Why do you pick weeks, not days? Days, not weeks.
In light of the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, it will then become meaningful
right.
why the, again, I'm that's why I saved the Rabbeinu Yeruchim for last, because I wanted that to be the flourish.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're jumping ahead, which is fine. But in light of the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, it won't be arbitrary, meaning it will specifically be for that reason that they kept it as that pattern. But we'll get there in a moment. Yeah, sorry, what were you saying?
I think in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it talks about like 10 things that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did, Zechel Mikdash. So it seems like his understanding of Zechel Mikdash was the first understanding of the Briska Rav. Like,
you're already getting into Nir's world. Whether or not categories like that actually exist, or if that was goof of the Shiloh. That's exactly what Nir was bringing up a second ago.
Okay.
That Rusalovechik, meaning not the Briska Rav, Rusalovechik said there are two categories like that. It's not goof of the Shiloh.
I'm saying like when we see Zechel and Mikdash in other contexts, in Shas, it seems much more like the first.
That's what he's pointing out.
That's what you're saying.
No, that's what he brings that example. He shuts it down. He has a thing with Sukkah. Remember that he talks about like how, you know, in Zechel and Mikdash, what's mutter on the second day of Sukkot, wouldn't have been mutter in the... In the Mikdash, in other words, like Sulim. I guess he's talking Sulim, so he assumes that. You know? I think he's not submitting those words, he's interpreting those words.
Okay.
Just add in one last thing. What's with the bracha of Shachianu? This is an issue that the Rishonim raise, making a Shachianu on Sfiras HaOmer. So according to Amemar, it will be obvious, right? Since, again, let's say according to the Balamor, who's paskening like Amemar, right? It will be obvious why there's no Shachianu, because this is not a happy occasion. It's a Zeichel L'Chorban. Okay, but what I really want to get to is like this. Remember, in the Rambam we had the basic conception, the Hainu, whether or not it's integrated with Hakravas HaOmer or not, how they learned the Gemara, how they learned the Psukim, and then the ultimate understanding of Sfiras HaOmer. In the Rambam we said the ultimate understanding of Sfiras HaOmer was the shift between Pesach to Shavuos. What will we suggest for Rov Rishon? What is their conception of Sfiras HaOmer? So on the Mar Makomos, I put an Avudraham. You got that Avudraham? So the Avudraham basically says a fascinating thing. He says, "V'atam shetziv HaKadosh Baruch Hu lisparas HaOmer, neshek kol echad miYisrael haya asuk b'kitzir shelo, v'hayu mifuzarim kol echad begrono, v'tziv limnos kedei shelo yishkechu zman aliyasam l'regel." It's unbelievable, Avudraham. I wouldn't have believed such a thing unless the Avudraham said it. He's basically saying it's totally pragmatic. This is the harvest season. It was kicked off with the Hakravas HaOmer. And there was a tendency, see, he had to answer for the fact that not everybody's a farmer. So what did he basically say? Everybody's a farmer. Right? You see what he says? He says, "Mimnei shekol echad miYisrael haya asuk b'ktzir shalom." You have to understand, this was a generation of farmers, right? By the way, I was a little freaked out by that, because I would have just said, you know, it was a there's such a thing as the Torah making a takana. So I thought this was like a takana sa Torah, and they made it as a low plug. He actually goes a little bit farther than Avudraham. He says, you have to understand, this was a generation of farmers, right? This is the way people.
You think
who
when
live.
He says kol echad, he means literally.
I don't think he means
kol echad.
I think he means
everybody's sensitive. No, but it,
yeah.
Everybody's aware about cultural
right.
seasons.
Yeah, correct.
No, but it was the case.
Yeah,
I think
there was an agricultural world back then. That was business of the time. So basically what he's saying is there was a tendency to forget Aliyah L'Regel. As the Torah understood the psychology, you get wrapped up in business, somehow your avoda falls along the way. We have a tendency to think about the Zman Beis HaMikdash like, of course you have the opportunity to be Ola Rega, look at that mean, how could you get caught up in other things? right?
You could say like on Sukkot and Pesach, it was the, each one of those was a festival that had a marker, right? Harvest festival or
no, but I'm saying Shavuot
didn't have like a marker that was associated with it because it was just it was at a certain point
yeah.
during the harvest season. So what did you have? You needed something.
I think you're right. I agree. I 100% think you're right. So but see the beauty of this Avudra Ham is it ties in perfectly into the Rov Rishonim. Because the Rov Rishonim are basically saying that it's integrated into that Kravas HaOmer. But if you step back conceptually, what does that mean? There was a mitzvah of Kravas HaOmer. You threw flour on the Mizbeach. Tisperu Chamishim Yom. What are we talking about? What's one got to do with the other? Because that's the fundamental question. What does the calendar... According to the Rambam, conceptually, it made sense. Because what does that Kravas HaOmer have to do with the Sphira? No? That's why the Rambam kept them separate. And then, as we said, he used the Hakrav HaOmer to frame the Sphira HaOmer, the shift from Pesach to Shavuos.
So the Budraham connects the two.
Right. That because if you step back from the Rov Rishonim, and you're looking at it going, wait a second, they're integrated, but what does that mean they're integrated? What is the relationship between the Sphira and the Hakrav? This Avudraham puts them together. Because now, the way that the Torah shtel devek this mitzvah, was it integrated, but for fear that people were going to miss out on Aliyah L'Regel of Shavuos, they integrated it into the Hakrav HaOmer. It was the kickoff.
Are you saying that because Aliyah L'Regel is Bisman is a, like there's no, it's only like, there's no Aliyah L'Regel, so therefore...
The whole thing is Midrabban, there's no Hakrav HaOmer. The entire concept. That's the sheet that we're in, it works out perfectly.
No, but I'm saying that works, to say that you know you have to count until you get to Shavuos so that you know in Shavuos is that fits in with the Rambam. Just it has to do with you know you have to make sure that you get to 50 on a certain day so you know when Shavuos is. So
no.
it doesn't matter when the day was.
No, exactly the opposite.
Yeah, the Omer is what generates the confusion about when Shavuos will be because you're going to be so busy with the from the Omer time.
Rambam never mentions this concept of getting busy and not coming on Aliyah L'Regel. His vision of the counting is a... Is
he
doesn't
a, mention it, but I'm saying...
No, it's not...
You
it's
have
not,
to put the Avudraham into either the Rishonim or the Rambam.
No, because the Rambam... See, the Rambam's not pragmatic. The Rambam's counting is religious. It's not pragmatic. It's a shift in destiny. It's a shift from being an animal to being a human being. It's Matan Torah. It's a religious pursuit. Here, he's saying the Sphira itself is a pragmatic thing. The kickoff was from the Havas HaOmer. Okay. Rabbeinu Yeruchim is the exotic shita here. You know, I don't agree with this, but I once heard Rav Choshev Rosh Hashiva, who shall remain nameless because I disagree with it, and probably be Lashon Hara at this point. He said, all of learning is just to get to the exotic shitas. Find that strange shita, and you use that strange shita as like a foil for understanding the entire sugya. I don't know if I agree with that, but this is the exotic shita. Rabbeinu Yeruchim says as follows. He says, really, there's two mitzvahs. Days are d'oraisa, weeks are midrabanan. In fact, the Rabbeinu Yeruchim goes so far as to say that midoraisa, you'd make two separate brachos. If you remember, all the way back in the beginning, when we were learning the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, what did the Rambam say? What was his raya that it was one mitzvah? It was the fact that you only made one bracha. The Rabbeinu Yeruchim argues on that. He actually says, midoraisa, there are two brachas, two totally separate mitzvahs, as we'll see is evidenced by the psukim itself. Now, right, just like by tefillin, like let's say you held against Machlokas Rishonim whether or not tefillin are two separate mitzvahs. The Rambam says that they're one mitzvah. The Rambam, according to the Rambam, you only make one bracha. In fact, I only make one bracha on my tefillin. I only make one bracha on my tefillin. It's a meaning in my family for a very long time.
Oh, really? You don't make a...
I don't make a second bracha. Oh. Mm-hmm. Now, since weeks are derabbanan, so we don't have that bracha anymore. But etzem, it's two brachos. Okay. How would the Rabbeinu Yeruchim read the psukim?
He talks about two different countings.
Correct. Let's go back. He's medayik in the psukim themselves. He splits between days and weeks. first pasuk in Vayikra says, and this is what I thought you were saying before. Usvartam lachem imachar asa Shabbos miyom aviyachem asa omer. So now miyom aviyachem asa omer atnufa. This is the omer pasuk, and how does it list the counting? Sheva Shabbosos tamimos tiyana. This is weeks. However, in the next pasuk, ad mimachar asa Shabbos hashviyas tisperu chamishim yoyim v'ukravtam mincha chadash al Hashem. Here, there's no mention of the hava asa omer. In other words, he's medayik in the psukim. He's medayik in the psukim that weeks is a function of the Karban HaOmer. And now that we don't have a Karban HaOmer, what becomes Midrabanan is the counting of the weeks. Well, I shouldn't even say it like that. Yeah, I'll say it like that. Fine. But when it comes to days, days are a totally separate mitzvah. Why all the Rabbeinu Yeruchim? What would you say?
He rereads the Mimah, right?
Before, do me a favor, before we get to the Gemara, in this case, help me understand this conception of counting according to the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Let's get into the abstraction of it.
There are two counts. I mean, the two counts.
Yeah, but what do these structurally, these two counts mean? Give me some suggestions. In other words, yeah, there is a week's counting that's generated by the Omer.
Right.
There's a day's counting that's not. Nowadays, that we don't have the Karban HaOmer, so the mitzvah...
The days would still exist
midoraisa. Before we get to the Gemara, what is his conception of the counting?
So we said like what we were talking about earlier about how there's like the counting from and there's the counting towards.
Okay,
he,
good.
He says they're both.
Right. In other words, the counting of days, you'll say, is like the Rambam.
Yeah, counting towards.
It's a preparation for Matan Torah. And the counting of weeks...
It's counting from Havas Omer.
Okay. That is one up. That's one way of doing it. And I think that's true. I wrote that down also. There is, however, an Ar Sameach that I think bears mentioning over here because it is a very beautiful Ar Sameach.
A bit wild.
What was that?
A bit wild.
I think so. I think it's a bit wild also. There, and that's why I'm saying it's pretty radical and it's pretty innovative. I think it was very... very abstract.
Well, he says he's being innovative when he writes it.
Yeah.
Sort of similar
to Real, but whatever. Yeah. So he says as follows. He says, really, Shavuos has a 7-day component also. Because we're used to thinking about Sukkot and Pesach as 7-day Yomim Tovim, but Shavuos has a 7-day component also, namely the Tashlumin. That's how it's expressed. So there's the 1 day of Shavuos, and then there's the 6 additional days that you have the opportunity to be mashlim if you miss the Karban on Shavuos. Okay, so therefore Shavuos is like all other 7-day Yom Tovim. But it's divided into two parts. There is the what we'll call the main part of Shavuos, which is the 1 day. And then there's the span of Shavuos, which is the remaining 6 days. Now the truth is, and the Ar Sameach points this out, that the name Shavuos is not ever in the Torah associated with the counting of days. It's not called Shavuos. It's called Atzeres. Okay? In other words, the counting of the days is the Oraisa, because that vision of the Atzeres, that vision of the Etzem Yontif, has nothing to do with the Hakravas Omer. You understand? So that, of course, would remain intact. Masha'entein, the counting of the weeks, that's connected to Chag HaShavuos, yeah? It's the counting of the weeks. That relates to the more global 7-day vision of Shavuos, in which you have the opportunity to bring the Karban. And that does not exist nowadays. And therefore, the counting of the weeks does not exist. Let's make sure everyone has that. In other words, there's two parts to Shavuos. I'll say it again. There's two parts to Shavuos. There's the Etzem Yom of Shavuos, and then there's the expanse of Shavuos. The Etzem Yom of Shavuos is related to the counting of the days, as Eliezer pointed out before. It's related to the counting of the days. But that's not Shavuos. That's called Atzeres, and that is beyond Churban Abayis. So therefore today that would remain as a Deoraisa. But the expanse of Shavuos, right, is related to the term Chag HaShavuos. That's related to the counting of the weeks. And therefore, since nowadays that doesn't apply, because unfortunately we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, we have the counting of the weeks is midrabanan, the counting of the days is midoraisa.
And that still works with the Abudram, by the way. Because the other regal is
yeah,
is
for correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. Works with the Avujam as well. Tell me, how would the Rabbeinu Yerucham learn the Gemara?
That they both hold that they both hold that counting days is do reisa.
Yeah, but then you can't explain
Zirch
LeMikdash. To explain how Zirch LeMikdash plays a role.
No, because it's saying because it's no because
the part that's the part that
first. Who does the Rabbeinu Yerucham Paskin like?
A Mimar.
Like a no Abaye. Paskin like Abaye. Mitzvah.
I think you're right. I think he Paskins like Abaye.
Because it's
yeah, that you're required Batson to count days and weeks, just that they are fulfilled on different levels.
No, but a Mimar doesn't argue that intrinsically you have to count days and count weeks.
You see, the problem is this.
The dispute is about whether it's Derabanan or Doraisa.
The simple reading is like you. You would just say, according to Ameimar, there is the counting of the weeks. That's connected to...
What, weeks?
The
counting
Omer,
of the weeks
Omer.
Of the Omer.
Omer.
That's connected to the Akravas Omer. Therefore, today, it's Midrabanan.
Yeah?
Yeah. But the problem is that Ameimar only says, this is why it didn't go this way. The problem is Ameimar doesn't mention today that you count weeks. Why don't you count weeks according to Ameimar if you're in the Rabbeinu Yerucham? In other words, this is why I came on to what Nir is saying. The Rabbeinu Yerucham Paskin's like Abaye.
Right.
And it's a mitzvah to count both days and weeks. But the way he read Abaye, in light of his understanding of the Psukim, was that it's a mitzvah to count weeks mid Rabbanan and days mid Oraisa. You can't say that the Rabbeinu Yerucham is operating in Ameimar, because how come you don't count weeks according to Ameimar? According to the Rabbeinu Yerucham, you count them, but it's only mid Rabbanan. Right?
Right, correct. Also, what's the Zeich LeMikdash for Ameimar?
Right, that's gufa, the Zeich LeMikdash according to the Ameimar, is that you don't count the weeks, Zeich LeMikdash, like the Brisker Rav.
Right.
Okay. Whew. So we got through we got through the three main shitas. I just want to bring up a couple of Shari Rakos issues, and then we'll get to some Ashkaf.
So for Abaye, by the way, it's you count the Doraisa because Doraisa, count the days Doraisa, and the weeks is now Zeich LeMikdash, basically.
But the first conception of Zeich LeMikdash.
Right.
Correct. Okay. What are some of the nafkaminas between these approaches? So as we already mentioned, what time you count was machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. Tosfos allowed for a ben hashmashos counting. We also mentioned nashim being paturos uchayavos in Sfiras Omer. There are a couple other nafkaminas. I'm not going to get into all of them, but I want to mention two. One that I'm confident in, the other that I'm really not confident in, especially after speaking it over with some of the Rebbeim and Mevaseret. The first one is a Tosfos in Megillah. I put that on the Maor Makom list in the end, right?
Yeah.
I think that was the one after I told you I was done.
Which
Tosfos? It's on the sheet. Oh, right.
Okay. Tosfos in Megillah says, after counting the Omer, you should recite a tefillah for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah.
The Rambam never mentions that.
But after what?
Tosfos in Megillah says...
But the Rambam mentioned isn't really...
Why not?
Because it's not part of the Tosfos. It's like, meaning it's part of the tefillah. The Rambam doesn't mention the tefillah you say with it. You know, the Rambam doesn't necessarily disagree with it. He just doesn't...
I think that I think the Rambam should have mentioned it.
So what did the Tosfos?
I think the Rambam should have mentioned
it.
The truth is, the Rambam doesn't really mention... here's a raya for you. The Rambam doesn't really mention anything.
Right, exactly. It's not going to go through what you say.
It's not a din in Sfiras Omer. It's just a...
But that's... That pashtus is what Tosfos is saying.
Tosfos
is saying that it is. But that's good for the point. In other words, according to Tosfos, yeah, Tosfos will say it's Tosfos Lishitaso, yeah? Tosfos will say that it's a mitzvah of the Rabbanan, the whole Sfiras Omer, right? There's an intrinsic relationship to the Sfiras, to the Hakravas Omer, and therefore it makes sense to have a tefillah for the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash. Mashayin Kain, according to the Rambam, you don't necessarily need a tefillah for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash because it's not intrinsically related to the Hakravas Omer. That's one nafkamina. Again, there are many nafkaminas. I'm not going to get into all of them. I want to bring up one nafkamina that people say and I'm really not confident in it. It's the spit between La and Ba. You ever hear this nafkamina?
I say Ba.
Oh,
but
you say Ba, people say La, La, Ba, they're
that
both right.
Has
it.
Oh, this is a nafkamina.
So they bring down.
They say
La Omer means to the Omer, and that would indicate that the Karban Omer generates the mitzvah to count. And Ba Omer means in the Omer, and would indicate that the Karban Omer and the Sfiyos Omer are intrinsically linked. He has that also? Okay. So I'll tell you why I'm not convinced of it. There's two reasons I'm not convinced of it. First of all, I don't know that that's what La Omer and Ba Omer means. And I don't know that it actually works out that way. But more to the point, it actually doesn't work out in the Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos. Yeah? That it's Midrabanan. And yet, he holds that you say, he brings down the opposite Shita in the La Omer, Ba Omer. So it actually doesn't work out in the Rishonim. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because I know that it's spoken about,
yeah.
And I don't think it's Muchach. Okay. A couple of just small issues. I'm not going to get to the Rabbeinu Ephraim tonight. You'll forgive me for not getting to the Rabbeinu Ephraim. But I think it's important to mention.
Also, would you argue that you count matters also? Would you say Bahomer in the middle or in the end?
Yeah, and the Sfard, and then there's Nusach Sfard,
right.
There's different Minhagim. When you say it, they say that Rav Soloveitchik was Noeg to say both La Omer and Ba Omer.
No, so, you know, Sfardim count, they say Yom. They say
yeah, they
Yom.
Say both.
No,
there are in Nusach Sfard, I believe that they.
No, Sfard.
There's multiple.
But the word they say both.
They say both. Yeah. And Rav Soloveitchik said both, but I'm not really sure. I was discussing this with some of the Rebbeim. I'm not really sure why saying both helps you because Lachaira. Once you said the first one, you were Yotze, and then if you're saying the other one, Toch Kedei Dibur, then Lachar, that would undo the first one. I don't really understand how that works, but...
End,
you can say it with a Tznai.
At some point, you're a brisker Lechalutin, and I'm just not that brisker.
Was
that? Yeah, the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. The Rabbeinu Yeruchim.
So Rabbeinu Ephraim was the one about how you count?
The Rabbeinu Ephraim, yeah. The Rabbeinu Ephraim talks about if you count...
If you count
the weeks and then after the first week you stop counting the days. You say, like, it's 2 weeks and 2 days to the Omer.
That one.
Okay, but I do want to raise one important issue because I do think this is something that comes up a lot. This Hineni Muchen Mezumen.
Yeah?
Yeah,
it's a
problem. It could be that it's a real problem.
The Northern Yehud was not a fact.
Well, that was for a general reason.
But
this one is actually a real problem.
Why do you say if as a thing they should change?
I'm coming to that. Because it says, Hineni Muchen Mezumen Lekayim Mitzvas Asei of Sfiras HaOmer. And it says, Kidechsiv. What are we talking about? That's the Rambam.
This is Kemosha Katuv.
Oh, okay. So one second.
Someone has said that.
But it definitely calls it a Mitzvas Asei. Some say it's the Rabbanan. So I have here that Rav Avad Yosef switches it, and he says he takes out mitzvah saseh, he just calls it a mitzvah, and then he puts in a vav. He says and it says meaning.
Do you know Rav Fuchs that used to hang around?
Sure, of course.
He's
unfortunately much older. I haven't seen.
Oh.
I think 2 years ago I saw him there.
Because I heard him say one time I was sitting at a dinner table with him, and he said. That he, I don't know if he does it, but he wants to, every time that comes up, he wants to say, mitzvah to say according to the Rambam, and mitzvah to say,
he wants to start saying all the lambdas. It's like the craziest in any mukhun mezumin for lambdanim. very good. The reason why this is really a problem is because the Rambam paskins that it's bal tosif to make derabbanans into doraisas. So the actual declaration. According
it's
to,
not the Rambam.
Again,
right.
In this case, the Rambam would be okay, but we paskin like Rov Rishonim. So for us, we paskin like the Rov Rishonim to declare that this is a mitzvah saseh medaraisa might really be an issue of Bal Tosef, which is why Rav Avadya switched it. Okay. Some say mitzvah saseh doesn't mean.
What if you hold like the session where you say like a Tolpa is of the Darabon and then we do Kain Doraisa?
Yeah, but it's still not a Doraisa.
No, but you're doing, we're doing this mitzvah.
Oh, you're
like
saying,
it says in the Torah.
Ah, okay. That's nice. Okay, that's a good limitzvah. That's good. That's a good limitzvah. I like that. Some want to say mitzvah saseh here just means mitzvah medarabanan. Doesn't mean mitzvah saseh medarabanan. Anyway, there's a lot of, there's some people that say you want to be yotzei both shitas. This is a way of being yotzei both shitas. And if it's Doraisa, it's darabanan. Anyway, the point is I'm raising the issue because... We can't be Amaratzim our entire lives. Okay, we're going to stop here in terms of issues. I have about another 2 pages of issues, but we'll stop here. Now, in terms of Ashkaf. I want to go back to that Rambam for a second. Rambam and the Maor Nevuchim. With that Aruch HaShulchan. Transition from being a pre-Matan Torah to a post-Matan Torah person. It's a fundamental question. What exactly did Kabbalah Satorah accomplish? The Gemara says, and you see this in many places, that the notion of being Mekayim Mitzvah Satorah existed pre-Matan Torah. The Avos were Mekayim the Mitzvos. In fact, when you learn the Rishonim very often are struggling with, well, how could the Avos have done this if, for example, this was Asur, or that was, you know, or that was the mitzvah, how could they have done this? They're struggling with this. In other words, they had a real vision that a mitzvah existed organically in the world. Mitzvah exists organically in the world, so then what was the nature of Torah? So you end up with a very distorted notion of Torah. It just becomes like a Yerida Sadoros thing. It's like the Avos could instinctively and intuitively connect to the organic mitzvah that exists in the world. But we can't, so we needed a Torah. That cannot be the pshat. Okay, so then you get to the Gadol HaMetzuvah Osa pshat, but you still need to understand why that is.
No, but the Torah, but you can see the Torah was there before the world was created, right? Some kind of reason.
Stako barai subara om. So then, what did it mean at this time that it came into the world? So there's a Medrash. Medrash says that there was a gzera that Romans should not go to Syria, Romans should not go up to Syria, and Syrians should not go down to Rome. And there was a bittul hagzera. And now Syrians are allowed to go down to Rome, and Romans are allowed to go up to Syria. The Medrash ties this in to Kabbalah Satorah. Up until Kabbalah Satorah, there was Elyonim and Tachtonim. There was the physical world in its state of Tohu Vavohu, and then there was the Shemayim, or there was the Shemayim world, the world of the Ribbono Shel. And never the twain shall meet. There was a Gzeira, so to speak. One has nothing to do with the other. Kabbalah Satorah was Bittul HaGzeira. And now, Elyonim can come down to Tachtonim, Tachtonim can be Oilel Elyonim. And this is evidenced by the Psukim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to the mountain, Moshe Rabbeinu ascended up to the mountain, and Chazal point out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down first. What is the meaning here? We have to be very careful in the education of our children, and certainly in our own education, that we focus on two elements, two distinct dynamics that exist in the world. We usually focus on one and not the other, but the nafka mina is enormous. What we focus on is transcendence. We focus on engaging above our humanity. There's the basic humanity that we live with, and then there's the sort of divinity that we strive for, whether it's through tefillah, whether it's through Torah, right? The mitzvahs that basically transcend the human experience. I call this the human seeking to be divine. But in truth, there is another dimension also. And that is, as Rabbi Jonathan Sacks once put it, we are divine beings seeking a human experience. Elyonim yardim latachtonim. We are endowed with a chelak elokam imal. We have a soul. That soul has to engage the world. And so the difference is that after Matan Torah, right? Chazal say that the world was divided into 3 stages. There was the first 2,000 years of Tohu Vavohu, the second 2,000 years of Torah, and the third 2,000 years of Mashiach. Now we know, just like in the development of a child, that a child, for example, has to go through each stage of development, Piaget's stages of development, but we know that a child has transitional stages also. So too when it comes to the world. For example, Avram Avinu was born in the year 1948. It's easy to remember. Yeah? In contemporary times. He was born in the year 1948. Chazal make that point out that that was the beginning of the transition into the second 2,000 years. Ultimately culminating in its explosion with Kabbalah Satayr, which dominated the next 2,000 years. Then there was a shift into the world of Mashiach. That's basically the Zman that we're living in now, that we're hopefully wrapping up very soon.
Sealing of the Gemara was the end of the 2,000 years of Torah.
Is that correct?
I think so.
Okay. So now, goes like this. The shift of Yiddishkeit, I mean the shift into that 2,000 years, was to bring El Yonim down to Tachtonim, to reveal the godly essence of the world, to take off the mask, right? To paraphrase the exact opposite of the Wizard of Oz, right? Pay no attention to the man behind that curtain, right? The mission of Yiddishkeit could be appropriately stated as take off the mask, right? Remove, let's pull back the curtain to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every mitzvah that we do is physical, either on the level of machshava, dibur, or maisa. But every mitzvah that we do is physical. Every mitzvah has a transformative component, not only to ourselves, but to the world around us. This is the yesod of Sfiras HaOmer, according to the Rambam. There's a shift. Pesach was Nesarusa de Lesato. I'm sorry, Nesarusa de Le'ela. Pesach was HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down and taking us out, despite the fact that we were not worthy. Sfiras HaOmer is the count towards worthiness, in the same vein as Mona Mispar LaKaychavim Uluchulam Shemois Yikra. It's the establishment of an identity. Counting establishes the value of something. The counting here is to establish the value of our mission. The value of the Jewish mission is that it's transformative in nature. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is as follows. When we talk about transcendence, when we talk about the human seeking the divine experience, our humanity is ugly. The aveiras that we do, the nisyonos that we face, they're very brutish, and therefore they're very ugly to us. That is a depressing state. And perhaps there's value in that depressing state. A person should feel a healthy amount of regret when he does an aveira. But when you talk about it from a elyonim yordim latachtonim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now coming down into the world, and we are divine beings seeking a human experience, then what previously was an ugly human experience becomes an incredible opportunity to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. In other words, up until this point, how would you look at an aveira? An aveira is a depressing thing. You acted like an animal. Now, it shifts the entire picture. An aveira is an opportunity to do tshuva. This was the radical shift when it came to the Arizal and others, the Ramchal, the Maral, and basically all of Sifrei Chassidus. It was basically expressing this fundamental point. This human experience is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. As the Medrash in Parshas Naso says, Nisava HaKadosh Baruch Hu lios lo yisbarach dira betachtoinen. The Ribbono Shel Olam desires a human experience. He desires us to reveal the divinity of the human experience. You understand? So leaving aside the Avudraham that says that it's just pragmatic, the Rambam's notion here is a very powerful notion. It's Torah came down into the world. In other words, up until that moment, Avram Avinu, did he do a mitzvah? Of course he did a mitzvah. Of course. But what was the nature of that mitzvah? It was transcendent. He was a transcendent person. It has very little to do with us. Kabbalah Satorah shifted the entire movement of Klal Yisrael. It said, you are divine. And the human experience is the challenge for the divine. That's an unbelievable concept when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. And perhaps we could answer, this is why we count up. Because usually, if the Rambam points, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, I'm sorry, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says what? It's like counting towards a friend coming, right? But usually when you're counting towards a friend coming, you count down, no? Mm-hmm. You say, only 29 days left, only 7 days left, only 3 days left. I know that's how Rebbeim count towards the end of the year. As the end of a school year comes up, you hear Rebbeim in the offices of every yeshiva. Only a week left. I think, you know, the Talmidim think, you know, they're Borech, Beis HaSefer, they think, oh yeah, we really want to leave. The Rebbeim want to stay. Believe me, the Rebbeim want to leave twice as much as the Talmidim want to leave. They count down. No, here we count up. Because the vision is a vision of a merging of two worlds. I think the reason why this is so important, it has to be important to us, is the way that we educate our children. There is a tremendous amount of guilt in Jewish education today. It's exceptionally unhealthy. We basically are teaching people, and we're destroying lives because of this, we're basically teaching people, you're not enough. Because every time you do an Aveira, you're disgusting. You're the brute animal. And that is like drinking poison water. It may quench your thirst, but it poisons the system. If you're not enough for yourself, if you don't have the capability of recognizing the value of your humanity, you're in a depressing state. You cannot serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a depressing state, as countless Mamari Chazal point out. This is the essential problem. If we don't teach our children that the value of Matan Torah, the merging of two worlds, meaning two distinct directions, yes, from a divine perspective, the human being is a brute. Or I should say, from the human perspective, the human being is a brute. But from the divine perspective, right, the divine being seeking to have a human experience, that is the whole Tachlis HaBriya. So our mishaps, our opportunities, our engagement with the physical universe is purposeful. Many years ago, there was a guy in yeshiva. He had already gone out to work. He came back to Landers for an In Shabbos. Rav Parnas was there for that In Shabbos. He was a real Rav Parnas Talmud. He said, Rebbe, I feel very depressed when I'm in work. What does my work have to do with my Avodas Hashem? And Ruba of time, I'm outside in my office. It's very difficult for me to believe that I'm only serving the Rebbeinu Shalom when I'm davening, when I'm learning, but 9 hours a day, 10 hours a day, I'm in work. So Rav Parnas told him, you have to have a paradigm shift. Your Hashkafas HaChaim is incorrect. You're serving the Rebbeinu Shalom wherever you go. You're Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. The money that you're making, that's kelim for mitzvos. Is the problem is we see it as two separate worlds. That is very dangerous. It's exceptionally dangerous. That means that you're leaving the vision of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with intensity to those people that are serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day in the Beis Medrash. That cannot be. That cannot be our Hashkafas HaChaim. It's very, very dangerous to raise our children that way, because they're not necessarily going to be designed for that. And the problem is, if we put them in a system where we're teaching them that their Averas are terrible, again, an Avera is a terrible thing, but that it's an opportunity to engage the world in a divine way has to be part of the Chinuch. If we teach them that the only time that they're serving Hashem is in the Beis Medrash, when they're learning a Rambam, a Tosfos, a Rabbeinu Yerucham, so then what about the rest of the time? Then they're not serving the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's a very dangerous methodology in Chinuch. And I think that it's appropriate for us to, especially in this Chabura, where we have guys who are Baruch Hashem committed to their learning in a very serious way, but also working, I think for us especially, it's important to inculcate this value in ourselves. Make sure that we don't chas v'shalom fall prey to the trap of, you know, I'm not really one of the serious guys because I'm working 8-9 hours a day. Adarabah v'adarabah. Could be that our Limud HaTorah is worth twice as much because we have to chap it in. But more than that, we have to make sure that the way that we engage the world is in a way that's mekadesh shem shamayim, in a way that makes us as dira b'tachtainim, that we should be zoicha to geula shleima. Geula shleima, it's ironic to give the shir on Yom Yerushalayim. Now, the reunification of Yerushalayim is obviously Yad Hashem in a very serious way. Anybody who can't see that is a fool. The fact that we were on the verge of a Holocaust, that again, I wasn't there, but people who were there at the time told me what it was like, where there was tefillahs being poured out from every corner of the world, every Beis Medrash was zugging tilim, didn't matter how right-wing you were, because they thought it was a second Holocaust. Everybody was lined up on the banks of Israel to destroy all of us. And that everything worked out, especially at the time the president gave a speech on the radio, and it was such a terrible speech, and they thought that Israel was weak, and it was going to be, they were going to wipe us off the map. That was their mandate, to wipe us off the map. So unbelievable. We got to the wall. We got to the Kotel. We are not yet done. Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Geula Shleima, Hakrava Sa'emer, and L'chol adeus, to have an emes esvirus ha'emer that brings us to a shvuas where we could be makriv the mincha chadosh al Hashem and the shtei alechem as chametz. Have a wonderful Yom Tov, Rabbi Yisai.